Now it's prime picnic and barbecue season here in Wisconsin. Time to bring out our favorite summer recipes to share. But cooking for a large group can be tricky, especially in the summer heat. And when somebody says they're bringing a salad to the party, well, here in Wisconsin, that can mean anything from fruits and vegetables to potatoes and pasta. Today on Food Friday, our guest shares the secret to make-ahead potluck recipes that are crowd-pleasing and easy to pull off. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite foods to bring to a potluck? What are your favorite foods for somebody else to bring to a potluck? What is your go-to recipe when you need that dish to pass? What do you think about buying stuff at a store to bring to the potluck? Hot or not? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Allie Rosen hosts a New York cooking show called Potluck. She's the author of three cookbooks, including Bring It, Tried and True Recipes for Potlucks and Casual Entertaining. Allie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me again.
Before we get to recipes, let's talk about the planning stages here, because I think we've all been in that situation where everybody brings the dessert, or the person brought the vegetable went with potato, or the person brought the salad went with potato salad, and so on. How do we make sure we divvy up the labor so we end up with some kind of culinary variety there?
Well, I think a lot of people feel awkward telling people to do something specifically when actually most people desperately want to bring the right thing. You know, it's like we as the host want to be like, oh, I don't want to bother you. But in some ways, it's more of a bother to not be specific. So if you're having a party, it's okay to say to someone like, hey, would you bring a dessert? Hey, would you bring a salad? Nobody minds that. And guess what? Like everyone's an adult. They can say no. They can be like, actually, I was really thinking of bringing some, you know, margaritas. Then you can say great, or, oh, we already have 12 people who already are on top of that. So, you know, I think it's okay to like assume the best of everyone coming and just make sure that all your bases are covered.
Now, every once in a while, Allie, I've run across the potluck curmudgeon who says, hey, if you're going to invite people over, you provide the food, don't share the work. Obviously, you don't agree with that. You've devoted much of your life to encouraging people to do these kind of things. What's the fun? What's the social advantage of, hey, we're all chipping in to do the food here?
I just think that people enjoy being a part of something. And also everybody likes to know they're going to have at least one thing that they enjoy at a party, right? And I also think it's not a requirement that somebody cooks. It's not a requirement that somebody spends a lot of money. Like, it's okay to show up to a potluck with a bottle of wine. It's okay to go to your local Trader Joe's and buy two-buck chuck and bring it to the potluck and say, this is all I could afford. This is all I had time for. Whatever. It's the idea of contributing something, of being part of a larger whole. So I think there's this idea of potlucks as like taking up everybody's time or being really expensive for everybody. Like, you're being invited, why should I have to bring something? And I think of it more as just like collective entertainment, something for people to talk about, something for people to be proud of. You know, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Now, if you are like me and you enjoy cooking and bringing things, then yeah, by all means, cook, spend time on it, bring something. But I don't think a potluck inherently means that you have to spend a lot of time on it.
Now, if I'm, you know, the invitee, I'm going to the party, the potluck, the picnic, whatever, and I'm trying to plan, how much do I need to think about, you know, what resources are available there? Like, I probably won't bring the big vat of soup to the picnic. Do I need to know if there's oven space available for the indoor potluck? What kind of logistical checking should we do in advance?
Well, I think the first thing is, if you can bring something that needs no logistics, I recommend that, right? Like, start out with being like, if someone asks me to bring a protein, like, bring something like, you know, I have in my book, Bring It, a mustard salmon, right? Which can be served at room temperature. Like, if you can in any way avoid needing an oven, needing to use someone's cutting board, try to do that. If you can't, again, just ask, you know, but also keep in mind that if someone is hosting, they are going to be busy. So just try to make sure that you're bringing something that doesn't require a lot of them.
Talking to Allie Rosen, author of cookbooks, including Bring It, Tried and True Recipes for Potlucks and Casual Entertaining. We are talking about bringing a dish to pass on this edition of Food Friday. Love to hear yours. What do you like to bring when somebody says, hey, bring something to the thing? Join in at 800-642-1234. Or when you plan some kind of potluck, how do you divvy up the work? Has it ever gone horribly, horribly wrong? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Allie, I overheard in the studio our technical director talking to you. You are a big fan, and this is just about a good season for this in Wisconsin, weather permitting, for corn and grilled corn. Can you talk about great use to use corn in our dishes to pass?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the best ingredients in the summer, I mean, and the reason why people love doing things in the summer is that the ingredients are so excellent, you don't have to do a lot to them, right? Like, I think in the winter, it's like you're not getting a lot of fresh stuff. So, okay, that's the time to, you know, braise something for 8 hours. But corn in the summer, like, you could literally just shuck the corn and hand it to people and they probably would be thrilled. But I also think that corn is something that's super versatile because it doesn't get wet or messy, right? Like, it's not like a tomato, which is delicious, but can create a mess. It's something that you can serve in a million different forms. It adds a lot of heft to anything that you're making, you know? So if you have a salad and you want it to be more like a side, throw a little bit of corn on it. You know, if you have something that you need to like have a little bit more flavor, but not be overpowered, throw some corn on it. And it's also just great on a grill, like throw corn on a grill and hand it out to people. So to me, there's like very few items that are as easy and beloved as corn.
Let's look at a couple standbys. Things that we might think, you know, oh yeah, that's going to show up at the potluck or the picnic or the cookout. Potato salad. I like potato salad. Sometimes it has a reputation of being boring. I've eaten and I've made ones that are pretty boring. Do you have some advice on how to make an interesting potato salad?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the first thing is to make sure you have some acid in there, right? Like, yes, we like the mayo. It gives it that consistency, but you need something that makes it pop. So for a lot of people, that's just as simple as putting some lemon on it. But also think outside the box. Like, I like to put soy sauce or rice vinegar or even like a little touch of fish sauce, which a lot of people don't think of. And that gives like a great extra layer of umami onto it. But you want to sort of put those additional flavors into it. It doesn't have to be super strong. And it, again, like with the fish sauce, it doesn't even have to be something that a person could actually pick out in a crowd. It just gives it a little bit more depth. So some vinegar, some lemon, and then something to give it a little bit more depth. I think even if it's just like a very simple potato salad with like potatoes and maybe some extra veggies thrown in there and some mayo, you know, just put a little bit of things in there. The other thing is also just enough salt. Like, I think we all get afraid of salt. And it's amazing how much, like when people go to restaurants, like, wow, this food is so amazing. Like 90% of the time it's that they added butter and salt to it, right? So with a potato salad, you're putting mayo in there. You've got the fat piece, right? You've got that unctuousness. So make sure you're salting it properly because that can be the key.
Now, here's another one, and I kind of reversed here. Coleslaw. I've made a lot of coleslaw in my life. I've tried, you know, blue cheese and funky vegetables and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always go back to cabbage, carrots, salt, pepper, sugar, mayonnaise. That's my favorite coleslaw. I don't know. Is it sometimes not worth tampering with the classics?
Completely. And I think that's one of the best things about summer is that everything is fresh. Everything is bright. When you have a potluck, especially if it's outside, like you kind of don't want things to be weighed down. So if you're buying good ingredients, then those should speak for themselves. You know, again, like I think with a coleslaw, it's like just put half a lemon on it and you'll see the whole thing brighten up if you think like this is feeling a little boring. But yeah, I think there's a reason why classics are classics. You know, you don't have to always reinvent the wheel. You don't always have to come to the potluck and be like, you'll never guess my secret ingredient. Like most people just want it to taste good. You know, it doesn't need to be like a special secret ingredient.
I want to talk some more about logistics here. Like I've had situations, especially in my family, where everybody thinks, okay, I have to bring enough of my thing to completely feed everybody. Then everybody does that. God. You end up with like way, way too much food. And sometimes leftovers are fine. If it's an outdoor thing, well, it might be too gross by the end of it. I don't know. How do we make sure we end up with the right quantities of food?
Oh my God. Yeah. We've all ended up with those like sort of sad, like wilted vegetables because they sat in the sun for too long. Yeah. We all know that movie. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think part of it is saying like some people bring food and some people bring other things. Like I think that it's very useful to assign people dry goods at a potluck because there are always going to be the people who don't want to cook. So if you say to someone like, hey, can you bring paper plates and napkins? And somebody else is bringing drinks, then you end up with not as many dishes. Like, I think it's better to have a few really great dishes than to kind of force everyone into bringing food, because not everyone has that skill set and not everyone wants to or has the time. And so you end up with like some really delicious homemade things, and then you end up with like the weird grocery store thing that was like the leftover thing that nobody else bought that just sits there the whole time and is like a waste of money and food. So I think it's okay to like not make everyone bring something, and then you usually end up with the right amount of food.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to cookbook author and food show host Allie Rosen. Her books include Bring It. That's a book about casual entertaining. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What's your go-to thing to bring to a gathering where you're expected to bring food? If you like to plan these things out, invite people, parcel out who does what, love to know your strategies. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Allie Rosen, host of the food show Potluck and author of the cookbook Bring It, Tried and True Recipes for Potlucks and Casual Entertaining. She's with us on Food Friday talking about bringing a dish to pass and cooking when you're sharing with friends, family, maybe coworkers. Join in at 800-642-1234. What do you like to bring when you need a dish to pass? What are you always happy when Aunt whoever brings it to the family gathering, or do you have to pretend to like it? I don't know. Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring on a caller now. Karen is with us in Monona. Karen, hi.
Hi. When I make potato salad, sometimes I use blue cheese dressing. When I do that, the potato salad disappears almost immediately. It's just one of those things that I don't even always think of myself.
Karen, thanks a lot for that. I did something just like that. I made a pasta salad. A few bands were getting together to play for each other and have brats. I brought a pasta salad, threw in some blue cheese dressing, and yeah, it disappeared. Allie, blue cheese can do a lot.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of blue cheese, and blue cheese dressing is kind of like the easiest conduit to getting to blue cheese. It's like that unctuousness that you can add to something. Like, potatoes are delicious, but if you add something really like briny and unctuous to it, and then also the creaminess of it, like, I mean, what's not to like?
Karen, thanks a lot for that suggestion at 800-642-1234. Allie, let's talk about, a finger food type of setup. We want to bring hors d'oeuvres or appetizers or that sort of thing. What kind of things do you like to make in that category?
Yeah, and I think sometimes the best kind of parties are the ones where you don't need a fork, where you can like walk around with a drink in one hand and a plate in the other and not have to worry about like, how am I gonna cut this thing or move it? So, I mean, first of all, I think like little sandwiches, like little tea sandwiches are always great, and tartines. Like, I am just a big fan of like putting things between or on a piece of bread and letting people pick it up and eat it, because you can really go endless with the flavors of that. I also think it's kind of nice, like the classics, like a deviled egg, or like, putting like endive leaves are also a great conduit. I mean, one of my favorite things, speaking of blue cheese, now that you've got me thinking about blue cheese things, is to like take an endive leaf, put some blue cheese and pears in it, and that's it. And that's just like a great, refreshing, delicious little handheld thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if you can get away with it, finding like the easiest way for people to eat is always great.
All right, we've got a couple Central Time team votes for deviled eggs. Now, I gotta say, Allie, I love deviled eggs. In my head, they're complicated to make, and I know they're not really. Talk us through what goes into making deviled eggs.
Yeah, well, first of all, you can now buy, like, at, Costco, they have those like pre-made, already shelled boiled eggs. So, first of all, if you have no time but you love deviled eggs, like, there is no shame in buying them sort of halfway done, right? Start with that. But second of all, if you're going to make them from scratch, it's really easy. You just hard boil an egg. I think, 8 or 9 minutes is pretty good, because you do want the center to be hard boiled, but not so overboiled that it gets kind of chalky. Like, you want it to still have a little bit of bright yellow in it. And then you just add some mayo. My secret ingredient, which, I mean, I don't think is so secret, a lot of people do it, but is pickle relish.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it kind of gives you that like tang. It gives you a little bit of crunch. And again, like you want something that'll add a little bit of bite to it, but that doesn't take a lot of your time. Like you're not there chopping up pickles, you know? So the pickle relish is great for that. And then just a little salt, and that's kind of it. You know, people love having deviled eggs with all different things on it. So again, like we're on a blue cheese kick, like put some blue cheese in there, you know, put shrimp in there. I love shrimp in my deviled eggs. Mm-hmm. Do it with beets and make it pink. I mean, they're so fun to do. And so I think a lot of people really get hung up on the hard-boiled egg piece of it. And that's something you can do in advance. You can buy them pre-boiled. And then from there, it only takes a few minutes. So, you know, some mayo and some egg yolk, and you're kind of golden.
Food Friday, talking to Allie Rosen, author of the cookbook Bring It, tried and true recipes for potlucks and casual entertaining, getting great advice on dishes to bring to potlucks, picnics, cookouts, you name it. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Marinette. Jim, hi.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
My sister-in-law, at every family gathering, family get-together, she makes these things that are called taco roll-ups. She uses tortilla shells. They're like the little pinwheels, but you got like sour cream and taco seasoning. You put like lettuce and tomato and anything like you can find in a taco, but always the first thing to go at a family gathering.
And just use the toothpick trick, you know, you kind of dice them and then toothpick them together.
And I guess depending how ambitious she feels on putting them together.
Yeah. Now, Jim, is this something you only ever eat at those family gatherings that your sister-in-law brings them to, or have you tried this at home yourself?
I've tried it my home myself, but I've never made it as good as she has.
That's
and they're usually the first thing to go to.
Jim, thanks a lot. That is, I think it's kind of a classic, Allie, that roll up, whether you got the toothpick in there or not. Any twists you want to throw it at Jim and the rest of us?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm so glad that Jim was telling us something positive that his sister-in-law did.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that could have gone in either direction.
Totally.
You know, well, my sister-in-law. but no, I think that's also, you know, we've all had that. But I think that what's great about that is, again, you know, the taco roll-ups are sort of flavor conduits, which I think when we think of toast, when we think of deviled eggs, when we think of, you know, tortilla roll-up kind of things, like you can make the same thing, but with a lot of different flavors. So you can do some with taco seasoning, you can do some with guacamole, you can do some with feta and tomatoes and, you know, olives and make it kind of a Greek tortilla roll-up. You know, it's giving you that base layer to add flavor into, which I think always makes a potluck feel a little bit more exciting because you're having different options for people without replicating the work on multiple dishes.
Jim, thanks a lot for sharing that favorite with us. Now, Allie, I want to go back to something you mentioned a few moments ago, the idea of, you know, putting out little sandwiches for our cookouts. I worry about that. Because I worry, you know, oh, depending on the ingredients, the bread's going to get soggy as it sits there and then it's going to get gross. Then nobody's going to want to eat it after a while. How do we avoid the issue of sogginess?
Well, I think you have to think, first of all, about what your potluck is in terms of weather, indoor, outdoor, how long it's going to go on. And you have to decide what you're making accordingly. You know, like a 2-hour lunchtime potluck inside in, you know, someone's air conditioned living room is a very different beast than an outdoor gathering. And I think sometimes people get so stuck on like, oh, I always bring the tortilla roll-ups, right? That they don't think about, well, maybe the tortilla roll-ups wouldn't work at this event. Now, tortilla roll-ups, one of the things that is great about them is that those tortillas really do sit well. But they get soggy eventually too. If you are doing something with bread, I actually think like, you know, a little tartine, which sounds fancy, but is really just a sandwich without a top, is great for that because those hold a lot better because you can get a sturdier bread. Like if you are on, you know, if you have a little sandwich, you have to get bread that isn't quite as rustic and, you know, solid because then it'll be sort of harder to bite into. But if you're doing something without a top, you can do like a really, you know, rich sourdough, and that'll hold up a lot better. So yeah, like tea sandwiches using like Wonder Bread or a really like light, fluffy white bread are not going to hold up as well if they're sitting out in the heat, you know. But if you're sitting outside and it's not a hot day and you know it's going to be in the shade, then great, it'll hold up longer. But yeah, I mean, you have to acknowledge the context that you're in and not get so zoned in on this is the thing I was determined to make, because sometimes it doesn't work.
Now I got to ask the delicate emotional question, Allie. Now, this has probably never happened to you because you're a pro, but it's happened to all of us sometimes where you bring the thing and you watch and everybody gets their food and your thing, 90% of it is still there at the end of the night. How can we manage the emotional damage that causes us?
I would say the main thing to do is to always make stuff that you like, and then you will hope that no one eats it so you can take it home. You know, if it's something that you love, who cares? I mean, I think there's, you know, people have this like sense of pride around what they make and, oh my God, I wish everyone would eat it. But I think of it the other way. It's like, I do love it when people are happy with what I make, but I'm also kind of like, well, if they didn't want it, then can I have it back and enjoy taking it home? You know, which by the way, I think also is totally fine. Like, I think if there's a big potluck and you bring something and nobody eats it, you are totally allowed to bring it home. I mean, you know, offer to the host, say, hey, can I leave you some? But I don't think you have to pretend like they're going to have food left over too. So, you know, it's okay to make something and take it home, I think.
Awesome. Allie, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy your summer potlucks.
That's Allie Rosen. Allie hosts a New York cooking show called Potluck, and she's the author of the cookbook Bring It, Tried and True Recipes for Potlucks and Casual Entertaining, along with a couple other food-related books. Got a novel coming out, I believe, about a food writer. That should be interesting. She was with us today to share recipes and tips for your next summer potluck when you need to bring that dish to pass. Still time for you to share your favorites recipe if you want to. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can also let us know maybe about something you brought to pass that didn't work out so well. All that at the Ideas Network Facebook page.